people, and they are well. Amen. Amen. So today I want us to do a short study, and we want to understand, we're going to look at Jesus and Nicodemus, and we're going to, the end result of our learning will be, what does it mean to be born again? Amen. And that is a question that God will help us to understand today. And so that I pray that God will help us. We're going to read from John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're going to capture some few verses there and then link it up, and hopefully we'll come to a conclusion. Amen. So I will read. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, We speak that which we do know, and testify that which we have seen, but you do not receive our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, it's good that we read those 21 verses, because it speaks to us of a discussion that Jesus was having. Now, you have to remember that the Pharisees were the teachers of the law. You can imagine you can call them the fathers or the priests or the imams of that time, the qadis, the elders, they were the scholars. And yes, they were teaching the people the law in the synagogue. But you see, Jesus comes and he starts to speak to them and teach them. And when Jesus teaches, he does not teach like any other teacher. He teaches with authority and he confirms his teaching with miracles and wonders. So, as they were encountering this teaching, then the Pharisees, and I think Nicodemus did not go alone. Or rather, he was not, it's as if he was sent, because it's like he went alone at night, but it was not because they were not watching. The Bible says that we know, if you look at verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know, it does not say I know. That means it was not his revelation alone. Even they themselves as the Pharisees, even though they could not accept, they could not acknowledge Jesus publicly, they say that we know that you are a teacher of God. You have come from God. Because no man can do the miracles except God be with him. And you see, it's interesting. Many people like their titles. They like their positions. Just because they're manager or they're country director or they're now, you know, a big person, they cannot humble themselves to come and know God, to come to the church. Maybe if there's a meeting somewhere, they say, no, that one, leave it for the junior members. But you see, and this is what Nicodemus was facing. But you see, Jesus was very to the point. He did not beat around the bush. He just told him, verily, verily. And you see, the scriptures, when you read that word verily, it's like he's saying, in the truest form, like most assuredly, I tell you the truth. So they repeat it, verily, verily. It's just like when you read the word holy, holy, when the angels are saying holy, 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 it is in, they're saying it is the highest form of holy. To them, it's not that they're repeating holy three times. To them, they have no way of describing that holiness. So they describe it holy, holy, holy. That's more than three times. So Jesus is telling him, I assure you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you have to understand that the Israelites at this time, they were looking forward to the kingdom of God. They were desiring, they were under Roman rule, so they were waiting for a Messiah to come. The Messiah was supposed to make them free and establish the kingdom, and that's why he was called the Son of David, because they knew the promise to David that he's going to be a king forever. So the Israelites, and even today, those who don't believe in Jesus, they are waiting for the Messiah. They are waiting for the king to come. And so, even the disciples, when Jesus was going, they asked, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? A time will come when Jesus will come back on this earth, and he will rule for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. He will come back. Physically, he will come back. But Jesus is trying to tell them, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Now, that word see there is perception, spiritual understanding. Is a place where in your heart you come to know that God exists. You know, there are many people who read the Bible, many people, historians, they can quote for you the Bible, but the Bible does not make sense to them. It has no value. It is just another story. Why? Because they cannot yet see. This seeing here is not that you're going to see visions. Well, if God opens your eyes, that is okay. But that is few people that God gives that encounter. But the seeing here is the perception to understand and to know that the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom, but it is a spiritual kingdom. To see, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the second part, if you go to verse 5, he says also, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, look at two things. If you're not born again, you cannot see it. Now, if you cannot see it, what does it mean? You're blind, right? If someone says you cannot see, that means you're blind. And the reality is many of the Pharisees And many people in the world today are still blind. They cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have not yet been born again. Now, you cannot see. Now, if you cannot see something, can you enter it? If you cannot see it, can you enter it? No. But glory to God, all of us, I believe here, we are born again. And that is why I want you to understand what God has given you and how He has given you, He has made you anew. Now, let's go back to verse 4. Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, Jesus could, even me, if I was with Nicodemus, I would have asked, surely, what do you mean? How can you say that I must be born again? Imagine you're preaching on the crusade and say, all of you, you must be born again. Will they understand? Will they understand? But if you tell them, all of you, you must believe in Jesus, they will understand, right? So, it seems that when you tell people, when you meet someone and ask them, are you born again? And if the person has never been explained to what being born again, he will tell you, our church, we don't use that word. True or false? And he'll say, no, in our church, we don't use that word. What do you mean born again? I'm a Christian. That is enough. I believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. So, but Jesus, this is not the words of one denomination. This is the words of Jesus. He says, verily, verily, I assure you, except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter. So, he now explains, the question is asked, what does it mean? How does it mean that I enter my mother's womb to be born again? This is the question Nicodemus is asking. Can I enter again and come out? I am already old. It's not possible. But you see, Jesus is trying to explain to us what happens when we accept Jesus Christ, when we believe in Him. Every human being that is coming from Adam, we carry the original sin of Adam. Okay? Why? Because when Adam sinned, God told him, the day you eat from this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. Now, did Adam die? Yes or no? Yes, he died spiritually. Because in every human being, we have what is our inner man and our outer man. Some people will call it the soul, the spirit, but basically, in simple terms, you have an inner man and you have an outer man. Now, the inner man is your spirit that communicates to God. Your spirit is the one that has the ability to speak to God, to see God, to enter into the kingdom of God, but as long as you don't know Jesus, it is dead. That spirit man is dead. Why? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So, because Adam sinned, every man sinned. And because Adam sinned, death entered into the world. Even that person who wants to be so good, right now you will meet people, you ask them, you are you good? And they dress white, you know, they put on the hair, they walk very holy, they don't want to touch anything wrong. But in their mind, in their heart, there is something wrong that they have done. True or false? Even us, if we are to examine ourselves, if no matter how much we try, if we think the whole day, there's something wrong we have done. True or false? True. There's something wrong. Why? Because this body, the outer man, died, and this outer man can never please God. The Bible says flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus tells him that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now we're going to look at this two words, born of water and born of the Spirit. Now you will ask yourself, what is this water? Now, if you think of there are ideally three interpretations of being born of water. Number one, being born of water, they consider that water to be the seed of a man. That means that because you are born of a man, for you to be born again, you first must be born of a man, then now you're born of a spirit, okay? Born of the Spirit of God. So that is the first interpretation of being born of water. The second interpretation that people give is that you must be baptized. So born of the water, they say you must be, go, you're baptized, and then when you come out, you're born again, you died, and then you are brought up and you gave life. And then the third interpretation that people give of being born of water is to being born of the Word of God. That water refers to the Word of God. Because Jesus said that, I have sanctified them by the truth. The words that I have spoken to you have already made you clean. Now, maybe let me ask a question. Who thinks it is the first answer? Which if you were to choose, because there's always only one correct answer. Who wants to try? There's always only one correct answer. Of the three, is it being born of a man first? Is it being born, be baptized, or is it being born of the Word of God? Who wants to try?
Word.
Okay, the Word, okay. That's one answer. Who has a different opinion? Yes, come.
I would say Word and water.
Word and water. Which water? The baptism?
The baptism,
okay. Uh-huh. So if you are not baptized, you're not going to heaven. Is that what you believe?
I would say because anyway, I don't know.
Okay, no, it's a good attempt. But what I'm trying to say is, if we look at the scriptures, when we are born again, what happens for someone to be born again? Someone has to speak. Someone has to teach them the word. Someone has to tell them that, you know what? Jesus died for you. And you ask, why? Why should someone die for me? And he says, because he died for you so that he can pay the price for your sins. Then the person will ask, okay, what if I didn't want him to die? Then that person has received the word, but he has rejected it. You understand? So that person is blind at that point. He's spiritually blind because the Bible tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers that they cannot see the truth of the gospel. The reason why people are lost outside here, they're not coming to church. They might be Christians, but there's something that blinds their eyes. And that is the devil. He blinds their eyes. So they think they are walking, but they are walking in darkness. And a blind man leading another blind man, what will happen? They will fall into the hole. They'll fall into the ditch. So when we pray for people, when we pray for unbelievers, all you pray is that God open their eyes. Because the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And after they have seen, they need to enter. Because there are people who see, like the Pharisees, the Bible says you hold the keys to the kingdom of God, but you yourself, you don't want to enter, and you're blocking other people from entering. So the Pharisees, yes, they knew that the key was knowledge, but they themselves, they don't want to enter, and they're blocking others from entering. And that's how some people are. You can go to a place where, instead of someone teaching you the truth, they teach you to follow them. So, they themselves have entered the kingdom of God. But they want to keep you behind, because as long as they keep you behind, you will keep giving them your seeds, you will keep planting, you will keep doing everything, and you will make them rich. Huh? So, they can hold the key, they can see, they can enter themselves, or refuse to enter, and also block others from entering. So, what I was saying, being born of water is the gospel message. when the word of God is preached to us, with the true word of God that sanctifies us, the word of God that tells you that Jesus paid the price while you were yet sinners, he died. The Bible says while you were yet sinners, he died for us. Someone paid the price for you. Because we have sinned, to God, judgment is death. But now, Jesus said, this judgment that is death, I have died. Now, I give them life. I give them life. And now, when Jesus gives us life, then what he does, after we have received the word, then now he gives us his spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and makes our spirits alive. The Holy Spirit comes to the person who has received the word of God, has believed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, has just said that, you remember in the time of Moses they were told, just look at the snake. If you see the snake, you will live. Everyone was being bitten by snakes, but they were told, just look at the snake. If you see it, you will be healed. And this is what the Bible tells us. Just the same way that Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness is the same way that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will be lifted up. And how was he lifted up when he was lifted on the cross? And what the time of Moses, they were told, just look at the snake. In the time of Jesus, we are told, just look at the cross. Believe that the price he paid is enough for you. It's not your human effort. It's not how many times you fasted. It's not how many times you came to church. It's not how much you gave. It's not nothing of that takes you to heaven. The only key, the only entrance we have to get to heaven is to look to Jesus and say, I believe you died for me, you paid for my sins. And when you believe that, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and enters your heart. And what he does, when the Spirit of God comes to your dead spirit, the Bible says you were dead in your sins, but Christ has made you alive in Christ. Christ makes you alive in him. And the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. That's why the Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Bible says that he has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. The reason why you are saved and the reason why you will go to heaven is you just need to check, is that Holy Spirit still speaking inside you? Is the Holy Spirit still telling you you have made a mistake? Let's say you go and you find some money in the house and you really want to buy something, and then you take it and you keep it in your pocket. Or wives, when they are washing the clothes of their husband, they find some money, instead of giving him they hide it somewhere. I'm not looking at someone. They put it somewhere. But you see, as that money is in the pocket, to human beings, have they sinned? Yes, true or false? To God, is that a sin? Yes, that is stealing. But because God made you alive, he is living inside you, he starts to tell you, that money is not yours. You know that, right? Just return it. Now, as long as you can hear his voice telling you that you have done wrong, that means that you are spiritually alive. That means that you are actually born again, and the God Spirit living inside of you desires that you restore that fellowship. When you are born again, you are made a child of God. God makes you his child. Now, I don't know how he can make you his child today and not make you his child tomorrow. I don't know how we can make you born again today and kill you tomorrow, and you kill yourself tomorrow. Then he makes you born again, and you kill yourself tomorrow. Is that possible? No. God makes you alive in him. Now, that is the mercy of God. That all he says, for you to be my child, look to me, believe in me, know that I die for you. I paid the price for you. It is enough. Then he says something there, that this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but because men love darkness, they don't come to the light. What is that telling us? It's telling us that when you have really believed and have received that word will begin to work in you. That word will start to make you live in righteousness. In fact, it now begins that sanctification process. He starts to make you clean. You realize that there are things you used to do that you don't do them anymore. There is an anger maybe you used to have, but that anger is going. There was something that used to box you. Maybe at night there's a struggle you used to have. But as you continue to read the word, as you continue to pray, as you continue to interact with the Spirit of God, to pray, to worship him, to spend time interacting and growing in the things of the Spirit, then the things that used to hold you captive no longer hold you captive. Why? Because you are made alive. You are born of the word, which is the message of salvation, and then you are also given the Spirit of God. You are born of the Spirit. So someone that is born again is someone that has received the message of salvation. And that message is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone who believes in it, shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. That life means life without end. The life of God makes us alive. Amen. You don't stay a Christian because of your effort. But there is an engine. I don't know if you think of a car. A car, as long as it has that engine, it will keep going. As long as you put fuel in your motorbike, it is alive, right? So, your job is to feed the word of God, you add fuel, and you feed yourself, you spend time with the Spirit of God. Then, the Bible says, he now begins to work out and bring you to the light. And you find that the things that you are doing are of the work of God. Now, someone will say, okay, me, I believe, so I will do whatever I want. That is not belief. When Jesus met the woman caught in adultery, what did he say? He says, neither do I condemn you. But he said, go and sin no more. Go and stop sinning. Someone who says, okay, I receive, he died for me, I'm saved. Yeah. But then tomorrow you're going to live in sin. That person has not yet believed. Why? Because the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot continue to live in sin. Why? Because the life of God in him moves him towards righteousness. The Bible says the grace of God teaches you the way of righteousness. God wants us to know that he has made us alive, he has made us born again. And because we are born again, what happens? We can see the kingdom of God. And not only can we see, we can enter the kingdom of God. And when we enter the kingdom of God, what happens? Of God, we become children of God. Amen? We become sons of God. And we have every right of a child. Do you know, as a child, you don't ask your father for school fees or food. Just say, daddy, I'm hungry. When the baby is born, all the baby does is cry. The mother puts the breast, okay? The child cries. Milk is given. Change the napkin. Pumper, change. Now, as we grow in the things of God, we first of all start as babies. We start as children. Yes, we are born again. Yes, we have been given every blessing of God. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing of God. That Spirit of God is not going to change it. He's not going to say, I'm going to increase it next time. No. When a child is born, they come with their calling. They come with their giftings. They come with their talents. So every potential that God wants you to be, He's already given to you through His Spirit. The Bible says, out of your belly, His belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is you to draw out those rivers that God has placed in you. That anointing that you're looking for is not coming from far. It is within you. It's already given to you as a potential. That's why it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is dunamis, dynamic. It's a potential power. Healing. You need healing. You need miracles. They're already inside you. Spend time with God. It will come out. Spend time with the Word. It will come out. Read the Word. Let Him open your eyes to the things of God. You see, the child plays with sin. The child is still child. He's still loved of God. Plays with sin. But when the child realizes that, I can't every day be wetting my bed. I'm a big girl. I'm a big boy. Then the father says, oh, my son, you have grown now. You don't urinate on the bed. That is good. Now, come, let me send you to the shop. Because I see you're growing in maturity. It's the same with the things of God. He is a father. What you don't have is because you are not yet matured to handle it. What you don't have is because you're not yet mature to handle it. Because it's just like you cannot give your child a car. A two-year-old, you buy for them a car. Are you normal? No. But when the child becomes old and mature, God will give them. Why? Because God looks at our heart. Our heart, a mature heart, is the one that is used by God. There's a difference between a baby and there's a difference between maturity. Responsibility in the kingdom of God is given to mature sons. Babies will be loved. They will cry to God, I need this, I need this, God will give them. I need this, I need this, God will give them. I need a job, I need this, God will give them. Oh, I need to move to a new country, I need to go to America, God will give. Because to you, God is always give, give. Every time God, God, you have not given me, that's why I'm not praying. I've been praying, you healed me, you have not healed me, so I'm not going to pray again. But a mature child knows that this house, there is no water in this house. Let me go and bring water. You will go to the shop and say, I have got salary last month. Let me send something to my parents. The mature child does not need to be told that, right? In their mind, they know they belong to that house. So mature children of God, they don't wait to be served. They don't come to church to be served. They come to serve. They say, this is my father's house. If it fails, it is my father who is being embarrassed and my home being embarrassed. Now, sons take responsibility. If you want to be a child of God, you can continue. God will love you. But most importantly, God desires that all His children grow to become sons. Your deeds, whoever does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made clear that what they are doing has been done in God. As you believe in God, as your faith is in God, your life will also reflect in your actions that you are doing things of the light. So, as I conclude, the question is, did Nicodemus understand? Do you think Nicodemus finally got born again? I think so. Because the Bible tells us that when they were going to bury Jesus, who came? There were two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. He came to bury Jesus. Because no one receives this word and goes the same. The word of God has power in itself to save us from sin. And not only to save us, to make us new creation. We become born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And then that Spirit is so large. That's what Jesus was saying there. No one knows where the wind goes. That is how you can be in the things of the Spirit. You are dynamic. Today you are here, tomorrow he will send you to Nigeria. Why? Because he's God. You can say, this child of mine, there's an assignment there. Someone was supposed to be a pastor in this country, but they refused. Let me send you. He can say, oh, there are some people sleeping in that car. Let me send you there. Why? Because you know you are light, you're like the wind. God now sends you. All you need to say is, God, I'm available. Use me. Use me. Everyone that God is looking for is just someone who says, God, I'm still small. I don't know many things in the Bible, but I'm here. Use me. Anyone who says that, God will use them. I will stop there, and I pray that God has spoken to us, and I will call upon, we'll do one song, and I'll call upon Daniel to help us in the closing of this prayer. Take a moment, let's stand up, and we have received the word of God, and the Bible tells us that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
God sent his son for us. And this is just the message of being born again. And life is what
dangerous because he
is. Father in heaven, we exalt your name. Thank you because we live today, O Lord. We can face tomorrow. Thank you because of your word. Thank you because of speaking to us this afternoon, O Lord. How we pray that, Lord, the word we have received this evening, my Father, it will nourish us, O Lord. It will enable us to move forward, O Jehovah, focusing our eyes unto you, King Jesus. Jehovah God, may you help each and every one of us to walk knowing that indeed you are alive in us, O Jehovah. May you help us to focus unto you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Activate, O Jehovah, Lord, that you have deposited in us, O Jehovah, that we may be able to speak even unto others, Lord, that they may know you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jehovah. Help us, O God. Because indeed somebody spoke to us somewhere, and that is when we gave our lives unto you, O Jehovah God. How I pray that indeed those of us here who have heard your word this day, that Lord, you will enable us, O my Father, even to speak unto others about your kingdom and about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit continue to be with us in every day and in every walk, and even in our work, in our jobs, in our offices, in our businesses, O Jehovah. How I pray that, Lord, we will be able, my Father, even to speak and to minister to others. We honor you, O Lord, and we adore you, my Father. Be with us in this week, O God. Bless us, O my Father, O Jehovah God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. And
have a blessed, blessed Shalom.